Coming up on Tech News Today, Foxconn is opening shop in the U.S. Robots will find nuclear fuel so you don't have to. Facebook's earnings show that nothing has changed, it's still dominating. And Lego is opening the doors for kids who want to learn to code. All that and more coming up next on Tech News Today.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today, episode 1818, recorded Wednesday, July 26th, 2017.
This episode of Tech News Today is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Are you looking to hire a tech professional? With ZipRecruiter, you can post to 100-plus job boards, including social networks, all with a single click. Screen, rate, and hire the right candidates fast. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/twit.
And by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Home plays a big role in your life, and that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. It lets you apply simply and understand the entire mortgage process fully so you can be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. Get started at RocketMortgage.com/TNT.
Welcome to Tech News Today. This is the show where we tell you everything you need to know about technology that happened today, and occasionally Jason makes faces.
Sometimes.
I think Megan Maroney.
I'm Jason Howell. I think I always do. It's just sometimes like, you don't notice.
All throughout the show you're making faces?
No, usually just in the beginning.
Oh.
When you're saying the intro thing, yeah. Sometimes I just feel weird going, mm-hmm. staring at a camera.
We do that thing, she says.
Yes.
Every day.
We do talk that. About technology news. In fact, we're about to do that right now. Yesterday we mentioned that Taiwan-based Foxconn Technology Group might unveil plans to open up a factory in the United States. And sure enough, we were right. The announcement, of course, it wasn't us actually that knew that. We read that somewhere. But anyways, the announcement came with $10 billion being invested in a display plant that will bring up to 3,000 jobs to Wisconsin to start with. On its surface, it doesn't appear that Apple is involved with the announcement directly. We had wondered if maybe there would be some sort of involvement yesterday. Though, I mean, honestly, it's hard to imagine that Apple won't be involved with the new facility once it's up and running, especially when you consider the fact that Foxconn is also known as Hon Hai Precision, which is a longtime supplier to Apple. So, you know, maybe there will be some sort of a relationship between the displays, the LCD displays being produced in this factory, and those going to Apple, to which I wonder, how is this going to increase the cost of technology that we buy here in the United States?
That is definitely something to consider. I am all for more jobs in the United States. I think that's great. But yeah, the cost will go up. It just will. So yesterday, Donald Trump tweeted that there were going to be three new Apple plants. And that was, you know, and he also said they were going to be big, big, big and beautiful. And we have not heard.
We have not seen the beauty yet.
We have not seen the beauty. And yeah, the LCD panels, they say that they're going to first create will be for sharp TVs. And then there was some question about how many jobs. They said Governor Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin, said 3,000 jobs to start and then 13,000 jobs. And then Foxconn sort of responded to that and said they were more conservative. They said maybe up to 13,000 jobs.
Right, but at least somewhere around 3,000 jobs to start off with. I mean, it's a 20 million square foot facility. That's three times the size of the Pentagon when all things are done. So, I mean, that's one of the largest manufacturing plants in the U.S. from what they were saying here. So I'd imagine it's going to create a lot of jobs. 3,000 actually seems low when you consider the amount of space and the type of work that Foxconn does, just creating tons. I mean, they have so many partners that are working with Foxconn. And then also when you consider kind of the indirect job growth, they were estimating somewhere around 22,000 jobs indirectly in the area that will kind of serve the influx of workers that are coming in. So this is a big boost for Wisconsin, but it does involve a cost to taxpayers because it's a deal, a very sizable incentive package that's been kind of offered to Foxconn in order to make this happen, to bring more manufacturing jobs to the U.S.
Yeah, and there's some question. I spoke to Brian Merchant. He wrote The One Device about the biography of the iPhone in the last 10 years. And he went to Foxconn. He, you know, they don't let you look around very much there, but he asked to go to the bathroom. And then he snuck out and like wandered around by himself.
they don't fall for the I have to go to the bathroom thing anymore. Yeah, I imagine.
Brian Merchant ruined that for all of us. But
like too bad.
You know, some of the things he said it didn't look like it was like overrun with 12-year-olds or whatever. You know, of course we all remember Mike Daisy, who was the guy who went to Foxconn and did that whole This American Life piece, which was highly exaggerated about the conditions of Foxconn, which made it just confuse the issue totally, because the conditions are not great. They're not what we're used to, but he made them seem even worse, and he fictionalized it. So it was, you know, it made it so you didn't really know. But mm-hmm. But what Merchant said was he didn't see any, you know, people that looked like they were underage, but it was still just a grim experience to be there. It's a lot of repetitive work. It's not a happy place. And just the way that they're treated is very different than the way we treat employees here in the United States. And that's controversial. And, you know, I don't want to judge anyone else's culture, but I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they do that. And you brought up the great point about the cost and what that is going to cost us. I mean, there was a Mac Pro desktop factory in Texas. It did not do very well. And so I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
Yep, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So after all our talk of robots and AI becoming our unwelcome overlords, I thought I'd take the opportunity today to talk a little bit about our robot helpers. The Verge reports that a swimming robot called Little Sunfish might have just spotted nuclear fuel that melted 6 years ago. This could be the first step toward cleaning up the dangerous mess from the Fukushima power plant disaster in 2011. Scientists are still analyzing which portions of the rocks that they found are fuel. So robots, for all their faults and all their cuteness and terrifyingness, they're very good at cleaning up our dangerous messes, going to places that are dangerous for humans to go into. The lava-like debris apparently contains fuel that had flowed out of the core into the primary containment vessel that was destroyed in the earthquake plus the tsunami that caused the Fukushima disaster. The robot's about the size of a loaf of bread, with lights, propellers, and a camera.
And it's not the only robot that they've tried to do this with. They've tried, 7 different robots have tried and failed, you know, along the way. One time the camera was fried by all the radiation that it encountered in the water. So this is a big deal that they were able, I guess this particular robot, they were able to send in 2 separate missions successfully. And now they can start to kind of identify, hopefully begin the process of removal, get that radioactive fuel out of there sometime starting after 2020. It's crazy what you have to do when you're talking about these, you know, mm-hmm. these materials.
Mm-hmm. I say go, go, Little Sunfish.
Yeah, you go, Sunfish. Facebook released its second quarter earnings report, and things aren't slowing down yet, with the company's best quarter of revenue to date at around $9.32 billion. That's an increase of 45% year over year. Net income was up 71% from the previous year, 71% at $3.89 billion. Big, big numbers. However, the company is warning that ad growth is expected to drop throughout 2017. Revenue growth is seeing a downward trend. It has been, anyways. It's been slowing. And net user growth continues to slow, which is only partially matters because, you know, when you consider that Facebook has more than 2 billion users already, they're all incredibly active, super engaged with it. That's just really good for being exposed to ads, which is, you know, a big, big part of how Facebook makes its money. So things are slowing. They're warning against that. But when you've got 2 billion users, does it really matter?
Nothing really matters. I mean, I think what matters for Facebook is that they're kind of, they've reached the end of where they can really advertise to us on the main Facebook page. And engagement on the main Facebook page is down. People are not posting as many personal things, and so people aren't responding so much. And it's just saturated with advertising. What's not saturated with advertising and what gets more engagement is Instagram. So I think that is where everyone's sort of looking at this point, because they have really just engagement on Instagram has just spiraled out of control, and And there, you know, it's like there used to not be ads. Now there are ads. There's a lot more room for ads. I think that, you know, we'll put up with a lot in terms of that. True. And there's a younger generation on Instagram. So all that fear of like, oh, everyone on Facebook is old. If you're watching the video, you'll see Mike Murphy's article in Quartz, which has some really great graphs. Quartz has this tool called Atlas that creates interesting graphs. One of them was how much we're worth to Facebook, which was a question we asked.
Yeah.
And $20.
Oh, okay. That's each one of us.
Yeah.
$20 times 2.01 billion users.
$20.
My holy cow. Yeah. And Zuckerberg even said specifically he wants more, and he said this on Twitter, he wants more active monetization of Messenger and WhatsApp, which is kind of an indication, a clue of what to expect in those apps. More ads, of course. And shares apparently still dropped 4% in after hours trading, even though the numbers were pretty good. From what I read, that was related to something different. It was related to Facebook. I guess back in May, they switched to reporting GAAP, which is generally accepted accounting principles. And in that switch, it actually confused some places, including Bloomberg, into believing that at first that Facebook had missed its earnings targets. But then once they factored that in, they realized everything was different. So maybe it was just a reaction to something that didn't exist.
Something they read, fake news they read on Facebook,
yep,
or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Search Engine Land reports that Google is killing instant search, the feature that would show search results as you typed them. The move is an attempt to make searching easier where most people search, on mobile. Fun fact, instant search was launched in 2010 by then Google executive Marissa Meyer, in a time when desktop, of course, was king. Now, whatever device you're using to search, you'll see search suggestion terms, but you'll no longer see those URL results. Now, I am not sure how this will affect anyone on a daily basis. That was not something that I really used. I don't really go to the Google search. Like, I usually just search in the URL bar. That's where I've done all my searching.
Mm-hmm.
But it does look like a harbinger of things to come in terms of dominance of mobile.
So I actually experience this semi-regularly. Maybe it just means that I go to the Google site more for some strange reason, even though every browser I'm using has a little search bar and it's probably assigned to Google. But it would bug me. Like, I've always hated this feature where you go there, you enter in a search, and it instantly refreshes the page with the results to match the search that mm-hmm. you've paused for a second. Instead of hitting enter, it just kind of refreshes it. Then if you make a change, it's like it blanks out, and then it you know, gives you the new results based on what you're editing. And I want things to stay still until I hit return. I want my search to be the reason that anything changes, because sometimes, like, I'm entering something in the search bar that is directly related to something I'm already looking at on the page, and it just felt like it really wanted to refresh, like Google got something out of the fact that every time I entered a letter, it was entering a new search for me.
You're anti-instant search.
I just didn't like how it was implemented from the point that it was. So I'm not missing it at all. I like the fact that it fills out search suggestions, mm-hmm. but the fact that it was always flashing search results mm-hmm. based on where I had typed to at that point, if it could determine it, it just felt like it was just doing too much. It didn't need to do that. It didn't really do me a whole lot of good. Burke says, I've seen some very interesting popular searches.
Well,
you'll still continue to see those, though.
Yeah, that's what's confusing. A lot of people in these stories have used that, because that's I love that just for the humor when you know, start to type something in. And
that tells you something about all the users.
Yeah, how can I find out my husband blank? Like, don't do that. People search for some crazy things, and you can still get all that. It's just the URLs that won't show up.
Right, and the kind of tied in search results on the page. So
and the other big part of this story that I think got swallowed up a little bit was that Google is testing autoplay video, which is
nobody likes that.
Everybody hates that. And you know who you are, popular tech website that has autoplay video.
Sorry, I had to cough there.
Wait, did you say Facebook?
Facebook.
Not that's what I meant. There's a tech news site. You know who I'm talking about that does autoplay video.
Oh.
No, it's not The Verge either.
There are others.
Yeah.
Yes, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Someone at this table might have at one point worked for them, but I'll say no more. It wasn't me. But so, yeah, they're just testing it. I put it on Twitter, like, has anyone seen this? I don't have a huge Twitter following, but nobody responded that they were already seeing it. But yeah, this one person, apparently it's being tested somewhere. So it's in that knowledge panel, which is the side on the right where it will automatically play videos.
Remember when Google search was all innocent and simple, and now they're like testing this out? Although I suppose I'm not surprised. Like, if hardly anybody is seeing this, a company the size of Google, like, they have to, you know, even if it's a relatively bad idea, which I feel like any autoplay video with audio is mm-hmm. always a bad idea because not everybody actually wants that. Even if that is the case, Google is big enough. They have the ability to test this on small enough percentage of users while still getting a good indication as far as how their users react to it or are affected by it. If it's the potential to make them more money by doing it, or maybe they realize in doing that, in testing it, that, you know, there is some related aspect that improves the product. You know, like, I'm not surprised that they test it out. I just know that I never want it. You know, Facebook does give you the ability to turn it off, if I remember correctly, right?
Besides scrolling through? Oh, you mean to turn it off all the time?
No, they don't. They said in order to not have this, mute your computer or whatever, which I'm sorry, that's not a feature.
But do they Facebook. Play? So they play audio on Facebook? I don't know if they do.
No, they're testing. They're also testing it. And actually, I don't know if it's rolled out officially to everyone, but I remember this was a news item a couple of weeks ago where people were starting to see, now Facebook plays mm-hmm. its videos with the audio up, you know, and really kind of pitching it in a way that it makes you feel like Facebook's doing you a favor because now you don't have to turn the audio on.
Right.
It'll always be on. And if you don't want it, a pro tip, mute your computer, which mm-hmm. I don't think is a very good pro tip.
Yeah, but I keep my computer muted because you get really angry when sound comes out of it.
Yes, I would agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. After the break, Jeffrey Fowler from the Wall Street Journal is here to talk about a robot that can teach your kids how to make robots. But first, let's take a minute to thank ZipRecruiter, the sponsor of this episode. And now, if you are in charge of hiring, you have one of the most important jobs in a company. The most important job is the person that that brings the snacks, of course, and cleans out the refrigerator so there's not moldy stuff. But you have the second most important job. The people you hire can make or break your business. But do you know where to post jobs to find the most qualified candidates? Gone are the days of posting an ad on the local bulletin board where people could rip off the little pieces of paper at the bottom. You know, you cut them all with scissor and then they can take your phone number off and call you. That might work if you're looking for someone to mow your lawn or walk your dog. But if you want a qualified tech worker, please do not do that with the paper and the ripping. Don't do that. Here's what I want you to try. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter will connect you to the most qualified candidates for any job, including highly sought after tech professionals. With one click, you can post your job to 100 job sites and more than 100 job sites. Their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your job better than anyone else. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. So unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. So no more juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Connect with a wide variety of professionals, including IT experts, and take your company to the next level today. If you are looking for someone to fill up your snacks and clean out the refrigerator so all the stuff doesn't get moldy, they can help you with that too. More than 200 million applications have been delivered. Now, if you're currently searching for a job, ZipRecruiter will help you find your future job in any industry, including technology, government, business, finance, and more. Upload your resume and apply with just one click. Be sure to check out the ZipRecruiter blog for recruiting tips and some great career advice. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes to find the most qualified job candidates with immediate results. And right now, just for you, you can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. Free. You heard me correctly. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/twit. That's ZipRecruiter.com/twit. And we thank ZipRecruiter for their support.
Lego is releasing a new kit that's going to help kids to learn how to program their own projects in creative ways. And joining us to give his take on what he says might be the best toy of 2017, at least as of now, is Jeffrey Fowler from the Wall Street Journal. How are you doing, Jeffrey?
I'm doing well.
It's great to have you here. Thanks for joining us. So first of all, who did you enlist to put the Lego Boost Kit to the test, or did you do this yourself?
No, you can't review kids' stuff without getting kids involved. So I had three pint-sized reviewers help me out. One was 6, the other was 9, and the third was 10. And it was actually kind of an amazing process. You know, normally reviewing stuff is a fairly intense process. You have to figure out how to work it, how to put it all together. But these kids just took it and ran with it. And that is, I think, kind of the most important lesson here is, like, kids figured it out. They already know how to use Legos. They know how to use iPads, and they have fun with it. And that's kind of the biggest lesson, I think, to teach kids if you want them to learn about coding at a young age, right? You're going to have fun with it. And they all had fun with this.
Absolutely. Moving Lego into the kind of the next generation where everyone, is, you know, kids at this age, man, they're so advanced at such a young age. When I was reading through this and watching the video and thinking about it, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, not very long ago, programming as a thing was just like relegated. Like you just assumed that you had to be of a certain kind of mindset, a certain capacity to do this. But it's gotten to the point to where, you know, you have a tablet, you have some Lego bricks, you have this kit, and it opens up this whole world and potentially gets kids involved or interested in programming where maybe they wouldn't have been aside from that. What are some of the major components that are involved here that make this unique?
Sure. Well, there's two things that I think really make it stand out from the pack. So first of all, it's Lego bricks. So you're buying a pack of, I think it's about, what did I say, about 850 bricks. And like other Lego projects, you have to assemble them. I happen to bring with me today a certain completed one. You go through and you assemble these. These are traditional Lego bricks. They're not, you know, some weird new kind of brick. They will work with the stuff that probably you've already got lost in your carpet at home. And so the step one is the kids assemble it. Now they use an iPad app to help them do it. So it's got basically the same instructions you would get normally in those little books. So that's part one. Part two is actually though where things get really interesting. So that same iPad app will kind of stop the kids along the process every once in a while and say, hey, I want you to try to do something with the iPad app to make the creature that you're creating come to life. This one here is named Vernie. And what the app has is a version of Scratch. That's the visual programming language that came out of MIT. And basically shows you very simply, it doesn't have any on-screen text. You don't even have to be able to read to be able to do this. But if you move these little blocks of code together, things will happen. And kids figure this out really quickly. So for example, with, how many have I got here? 1, 2, 3, 4. With 4 bricks of code, I can make Vernie here do this.
I feel supercharged. Wow.
Right. So if I didn't have it in my hand, he'd be dancing around right now. So that's the two parts. First, you build the bricks, and then you code.
That's awesome.
So for Christmas, I got one of my 12-year-olds Flybricks, which was a Lego drone, like a drone that you make out of Legos. And so, you know, it would crash all over the place. And then he could put it back together. And that was part of it, you know, kind of figuring out, like, if you've ever had to build your own drone, you kind of know it's got to be balanced. Does this have the same features? Like, does it fall over and you have to put it back together? Or does it, once you got it together, does it basically stay together?
I would say that, you know, with normal non-moving, non-programmable Legos, there's like a wiggle room for getting some things wrong. This one has less wiggle room because these are actually mechanical parts. Like, if you look inside here, there's one big hub down here that has motors in it, and it's got to connect to all the other pieces in just the right way for that to work. So if one is off, it won't work. In fact, Vernie's arm here for a little bit was a little gimpy until we figured out that there was a piece off. So it's a little unforgiving on that. But once it's together, it seems to have stuck together. I've been carrying Vernie back and forth here on the train with me in San Francisco, and he hasn't fallen apart yet. So that's good news. It sticks together just like regular Legos do.
And these are specific kits that build a certain thing. This isn't like build anything you want and you can get these components. Or can you? Can you go a little bit more imaginative with the pieces themselves?
Yeah, so that's sort of one of the things that's interesting about this is Lego kind of designed it to be open-ended, and I like this about it. So in the box, you get the pieces that you would need to make. There's 5 different things that they have the instructions for. There's this robot, there's a cat, there's a guitar, there's a couple other things. But then they have another area of the app that they call Creative Canvas. And that's where the kids who may be a little more advanced, kind of really get into it can start making their own creations and figuring out the mechanics of using the motors and the sensors built into this to make their own thing. And they kind of get you started in that direction with kind of the basics of a basically kind of a dragon that can kind of walk along on four legs and does that. And they show you some of the basics of that. And then you can start adding to it. And that's the magic here, because you may already have a lot of other Lego pieces in your house or Lego creatures or whatever. You can start adding them on to the thing you made. And then it truly becomes yours. And so the creative opportunities here multiply much more than with some of the other coding teaching apps or toys you've seen out there, because you're doing both. You're making the physical thing and you're making the programming.
Nice.
So you, in your article, you say that, I think Andrew was the 10-year-old, that you said it took him 4 hours to put it together. Now, did this, it really kept the attention of a 10-year-old boy for 4 hours?
It did. Yeah, it was pretty incredible. We took a break for dinner, but then he couldn't wait to get finished with dinner and go back to it. And he really didn't want to go to bed at the end of it. Like, there's something about Legos that many kids can just kind of zone into. And that's another advantage that I think this product has versus a lot of the other, coding teaching toys or robotics toys out there. Kids, there's kind of a cult around Legos that many kids are already a part of, so they really want to make this work. And Lego was also pretty smart in the app of kind of keeping them interested along the way, stopping you like halfway through and saying, you know, making the robot come to life a little bit just to get you interested enough to keep you going to the next level. So he got frustrated a couple of times, and I stopped in to help, but mostly it was all him. I was just there watching in wonder.
I mean, that to me, I've been through a lot of tech toys, and I feel like the best toys are the ones that make you struggle. You might fail a little bit, but you're never failing enough to really give up. Because right. I mean, I feel like that's how kids learn anything. Just keep doing it, and you know, eventually you'll have success and appreciate how many times you failed along the way.
That's right. And this isn't the coding part of this, which surprised me, because it was sort of the favorite part that the kids have. Because you would think like they would be interested in the Lego brick building, which is what Legos are known for. But they were really into the coding. And it guides you to make a couple of programs first. But this isn't rote learning or just, you know, fill in these things to get to go to the next level. It really does encourage you to start playing. I think part of that has to do with the things that the bits of code do that you're creating appeal to a younger set. So there was a lot of flatulence, jokes and pranking and that kind of thing. One of the disappointments of it actually is because it was so appealing as a way to prank your parents or your brother or your sister, the kids immediately were thinking like, oh, I'll hide it in, you know, the bushes or closet or something and trick someone. But the sound that you hear, the sound of the talking or the dancing or the farting, doesn't actually come out of the robot. There's no speaker in the kit. That comes out of the iPad or Android tablet that you're using to run it. So that kind of gets in the way. So I could see an improvement on this in the future, maybe another kit that they come out with bricks that actually have a speaker, which wouldn't be too hard to do.
No, I wouldn't imagine that would be hard to do at all. It seems like an obvious move in that direction. Finally, how much and when can people start buying this for their kids?
$160, and I believe it's going to show up in stores on August 1st. And there's a conversation to be had about whether $160 is going to be worth it to a lot of families. That's a pretty big investment for a toy. That was sort of my initial response, like, wow, that's a lot. Folks who are into Legos know that they're actually pretty expensive these days. There's a Star Wars Lego kit that I found on Amazon that has the entire Death Star. That's $500. Oh, so yeah. That's pretty crazy. So it's in the range for Legos, but it's still a pretty expensive toy.
I have one final question. Can you program it to pick up all the Lego that are all over your floor so you don't step on them in the middle of the night?
2.0. It's going to have to be Lego Boost.
It'll be its very own Wally picking up the Lego junk all over the place. Jeffrey Fowler from the Wall Street Journal, really appreciate you taking time and giving us your take on this. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
We'll talk to you soon. All right, let's take a minute to thank Rocket Mortgage, the sponsor of this episode. The mortgage process, the whole experience was not keeping up with the times. If you've ever gone through this process, you know that already. It needed a client-focused technological revolution. And that's why Quicken Loans created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence that you need when it comes to buying a home, and refinancing your existing home is also an option here. You can do both. It's simple. It allows you to fully understand all the details and be confident that you're getting the right mortgage for you. It's also convenient. Their trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. It's super powerful. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, Rocket Mortgage is able to perform thousands of calculations in seconds. That's, of course, based on your income, your assets, your credit. It takes all of that into account. Rocket Mortgage can analyze all that detail and basically give you the home loan options for which you qualify, the one that matches your situation perfectly. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/TNT. That's rocketmortgage.com/TNT. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. And we thank Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans for their support.
We got some feedback. Our favorite curmudgeon from Connecticut, William, he's a frequent emailer on many security topics we discuss. He wrote in about our discussion yesterday regarding the company that allows its employees to biohack themselves so they can get into the building faster. William says, in a decade, we will drink our computer in our orange juice rather than carryware or implant it. Get over it.
And I apparently thought that this was mine because I added a bunch of extra context in there. I put my notes in the wrong place. But how do you feel about that mentality, that this is just the way it's going, so get used to it?
Well, I think he was being a little bit sarcastic, William. but I think, yeah, we don't have to get used to it.
I don't know.
I don't want to be drinking my controller in the future.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if it's just that easy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically interspace is what we're talking about at that point, right?
Well, I mean, we talked about that yesterday and I got lots of emails where people are like, what's the big deal? Like, I have something implanted in my skin. It didn't hurt at all. They sell the kits and I got like URLs. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to do it either. But thank you, William, as always, for emailing and writing in. TNT's fan of the day is Dan Meza on Twitter, who sent us this screenshot of his Android device saying, screen in screen with Android. Oh, he says Podcast Addict, which is an app, a podcast app. He says added support, and now I can Twitter and watch TNT simultaneously. If you open up that image that's there, yeah, that's a feature of Android O that's coming out, is that on phones, finally, and also obviously on tablets, that you can do picture in picture if the app supports it. So apparently Podcast Addict does support this for when Android O hits all devices. Mm. And when it hits all devices, we'll actually know what O stands for. We don't know yet. We don't know. Not yet. Show us how you watch or listen to TNT. Just record a video or take a picture of yourself or your setup. You can post it on Instagram, Google+, Twitter, or Facebook, and use the hashtag #HowIWatchTNT, and we will find it.
Many in our chat room are asking about my fashion sash.
Oh, it's very nice.
This is my brownie sash that my mom saved. I was number 638 or 836. Unclear how this goes, but these are all my bashes.
I know some of them are right side up. Some of them are upside down.
I think I'm wearing it wrong.
I don't know.
There, maybe like this. There.
Okay.
I don't know. I got pins. I got badges. I keep this at my desk so people know that I was a brownie.
Oh, okay.
I never made it to Girl Scouts, but a lot of people have, and along with the patches like these for cookie selling and life saving, the Girl Scouts have now added badges for robotics, coding, engineering, and more. In all, the Girl Scouts added 23 new science and math badges to the lineup. They are think like an engineer, think like a programmer, and think like a citizen scientist. In case you are worried that our girls in green are spending too much time inside, the Scouts also added new outdoor journey exercises that will strengthen girls' outdoor skills and ignite their interest in environmental stewardship. According to the Girl Scout website, the Girl Scouts are almost twice as likely as non-Girl Scouts to participate in STEM, 60% versus 35%, and outdoor activity, 76% versus 43%.
Not bad at all. Apparently, a month ago, they added cybersecurity badges. They also have badges for computer usage, which I imagine has been around for a long time. Also web design. But apparently a big driver in this is that the current CEO took over in May. Her name is Silvia Acevedo. And she was literally a rocket scientist engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab prior to this. And also she had worked for IBM and for Dell and its other businesses in the tech field. So so you can understand why there's this big push. She's directly motivated by it because she was one of the women working in the field.
Yeah, it's I think Girl Scouts are great, or any kind of like organized group for girls or boys are great. It doesn't have to fall under Girl Scouts. You might have issues. I have some issues with the Girl Scouts. There's a lot. Like, I'd like to see more STEM badges and fewer magazine selling badges, because there's also that. So,
but don't get rid of the cookie selling. We need that in our life. Or what do you think about the cookie selling?
I don't want to insult anyone. I'm not. It's not my favorite thing in the world either. Especially now, it feels like it's a lot of parent selling as opposed to kids selling.
Oh, I see what you mean. It's yes, like, it's like, you know, the parents have...
say like, yeah, Jason, are you going to buy my kids cookies? And then guilt in. Nobody does that here. I don't think we don't have any parents of Girl Scouts here.
Yeah, but Megan, the cookies are really good.
They're
yummy.
They're expensive.
Yeah, but you know,
and very little of the money actually goes to the Girl Scouts, I have to say. So this isn't about the politics of the Girl Scouts. Go Girl Scouts. Learn about STEM in whatever group you are in.
That's right. Good news there. TNT records live every Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, 2300 UTC at twit.tv/live. You can be part of the show by emailing us, tnt@twit.tv. You can also leave us a short voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW, and find us on Twitter at TechNewsTodayTV.
And subscribe to the show at twit.tv/TNT. And after you do that, go to twit.tv, subscribe to our other shows. Jason does an excellent show all about Android. I do iOS Today. Subscribe to those too, and check out our other shows if you haven't seen them lately. And if you want to tweet at me to tell me how you feel about the Girl Scouts or what badges you would like to see, I'd like to hear that. I'm at Megan Maroney.
And I would like to hear what your favorite Girl Scout cookie is, because mine are the Samoas.
Yeah, those are mine too.
Those are so good. I'm at it. And Burke as well. Wow, it's three out of four. Kevin?
Yep. Four out of four.
Okay, boom. It's unanimous. Everyone loves the Samoas cookies. So don't get rid of those, Girl Scouts. I'm at Jason Howell on Twitter. Thanks to our technical director and editor for the day. I'm assuming you're editing, Kevin. Thank you for pushing buttons back there in addition to what you always do. Thanks to Burke for helping out here in the studio. And thanks to you for talking tech with us today. We'll see you all tomorrow. Bye, everybody.